Matthew chapter 13. And we'll begin in verse 44. He says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so very, very much for your grace. And we ask you to encourage us tonight from your precious word. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is a marvel in how he interprets the scripture and how he presents it. And he's been talking about the parables of the kingdom. How will my kingdom work? And so he first said that it all determines on the soil, the heart of the person, as to who receives it. And then he said, it is like wheat and tares. My kingdom, my people will be out among the unsaved, and they will be together. You won't totally recognize the kingdom. And then last time he said that the kingdom is so wonderful that it is like a mustard seed that's small, but it will grow and have great influence. It's like leaven put in bread. It will grow and have great influence. And now he comes to two little parables here, and he's really talking about the value, how wonderful and valuable the kingdom of God is. That is, salvation and the Lord ruling in our heart. Notice what he says, verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth a field." Now, that's kind of foreign to us, a treasure in a field. What are you talking about? Well, that day and age, they didn't have banks, particularly. And a lot of times, they would hide their valuables and things that were wonderful out in a field. They would dig it up and they would hide it in the ground. Sometimes, because of war and approaching armies coming, they would hide their valuables in a field also. And so the image is of a person coming along, not really looking for anything, and he stumbles upon this treasure. He finds this treasure in a field. He might have been just somebody walking along, or more than likely, he was probably a worker plowing the ground. Oh, woo, I found a treasure here. And then notice what he does. It says, "When the man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field." He went and hid it again, and then he went and sold everything he could find, everything he had, so that he could then come back and buy the field and get the treasure. You'll hear criticism of Jesus' parable. Well, this is not good. The ethics of Jesus are not very good. That's not the point of the parable. That's not the point to teach an ethic. Jesus is taking something they would understand and finding a treasure and pointing to what the man did to pay the price to get the treasure, to buy the field so he could get the treasure. The idea is the owner didn't know about the treasure. He wouldn't have sold him the field. Oh, that's dishonest, man. He should have told him. That's not the point of the parable. Matter of fact, even in rabbinic law, anyone that did find a treasure, it was theirs. That's not the point. The point is the man found a treasure, and he went and sold every single thing he had so he could buy the field and get the treasure. Then notice in verse 45. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now he does a different one. The first one is someone that comes along and just sort of stumbles on this through plowing or whatever else. Now here's one searching. This is a wholesaler who works in the business of buying jewelry and buy jewels, and so he can sell them and make a profit. And so he is looking for treasures. He's looking for the pearl. And the Bible says he found one. Extremely valuable. And extremely valuable to them. Pearls were very valuable, almost like diamonds would be for us today. And so he found one. What did he do? He sold every single thing he had so that he could buy that one pearl. You know, Jesus used an image of pearls. He said, don't throw your pearls before swine. And what Jesus meant was the truth of Scripture is so precious and is so wonderful. Don't just be throwing it out to pigs who don't care about it. We must be selective and be careful who we teach the truth to people, because some will just trample over it and not care about it. Cleopatra was said to have owned two precious pearls, and they would probably be valued today over several million dollars. Well, you get the idea. One finds a treasure, and he sells everything he has so he can buy the field. The other one is doing business and finds a great pearl of great price, and he sells everything he has so he can buy that one pearl. Jesus is giving us a lesson. He's told us that the kingdom is received, but it determines the heart. He tells us the kingdom is like wheat and tares, that the tares grow up with the wheat, and we're out there among the unbelievers. He tells us that it's small, and yet it will grow and have great influence. And now he tells us the kingdom of God is so valuable, it's worth giving up every single thing you have just to have the kingdom. I will tell you this. You may not have everything in life, and everything in life might not be going your way, or it may. But if you are saved and part of the kingdom of God, you have one of the most priceless things there is in the world. I want to give you two or three or a few lessons from these parables. First, the kingdom must be personally received. Each one individually found it, and each one went to get the treasure, and the other one went to get the pearl. The kingdom of God is individually received. A person may grow up in a church. A person may be associated with Christianity, but that doesn't make them a Christian. Even the Old Testament, people who were part of the nation Israel were blessed because they were part of it. But Paul then later on says in Romans that not everyone who was part of Israel was truly Israel and truly saved, because they didn't have faith looking in Christ. It must be personally received. The second thing is, the kingdom is priceless. The kingdom is priceless. The value of salvation is that it is so wonderful, it is worth giving up all you have to enjoy it. To be saved should be the greatest blessing in life. And Jesus compares it to finding a treasure and finding a great pearl. It is so precious to be saved. To be a child of God is priceless. Because folks, let's just say, according to Jesus' first parable, 3 out of 4 will pass into eternity without God and will not be in heaven forever and ever and ever. They will not be there. And so what you have is the greatest, most priceless gift you could ever have, and that's being saved. And every single day of your life, you ought to say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that I'm saved. A particular man who was worth $300 million, they asked him if he wanted to buy the New York Times when he already owned 180 newspapers. And this is what he said. He said, I would mortgage my soul to buy it because it is so valuable to me. Isn't that sad? Mortgage his soul so he could have that one newspaper. Well, folks, these two folks found something valuable, a treasure, a great pearl, so that they sold everything they had to enjoy it. You know, the kingdom of God, Jesus sort of said, in a lot of ways, it's dry faith in Christ. But if you study the Gospels, Jesus didn't just talk about faith in him. Jesus talked in many of the discussions with people that it was a commitment to him. It wasn't just, I believed and then go on and live my life any way I want to. It is a true, genuine trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it involves a genuine commitment to want to be changed and to want to be different. I want to give you a little illustration here for a moment. Suppose when you were in high school that they came out with this super duper medicine. And they told you that if you would take this medicine, you can't take it now, but when you turn 18, if you will take this medicine from between the ages of 18 and 30, if you were to take this medicine, you would be able to live 100 years old and never have a health problem. Now just think about that for a moment. If you only took it from 18 to 30, you'd never have a health problem. Oh man, everybody would be wanting that. How much did it cost? $100,000. $100,000? Well, I'm sure we can get some government grants or we can get some government. Nope, government will help none whatsoever. They will help you get a loan, though. You can get a loan for $100,000 and you can pay it off however long it takes you to pay it off. But if you'll do it from the age of 18 to 30, but after 30, you can't do it anymore because it won't work. Now, you and I sitting here, knowing what we know about getting a little older, you now being on this side of the fence, you know what I say? I'll take it right now, right now. $100,000, I don't care. Put me in debt. I won't care. I want that pill. But you know, when I was 18, I might not have thought much about that. Somebody told me in high school that you take a pill that you'll live to be 100. I would probably thought at 18, so what? Who cares? I'm young. I'm healthy. And I might not bother to take that pill. It's only because now you can kind of see the value of something that wonderful. But back then, you might not have thought so. It's the same way with the kingdom of God. It's more valuable than taking a pill that'll make you live to be 100. Because the kingdom of God is a pill that'll help you live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever with no sickness and no suffering and no problems forever and ever and ever. It is priceless. Let me ask you another question. Suppose we were to take out an ad and we were to tell people that someone gave us a gift of $1 billion to our church. But we could not spend it on our church. We could set up a system whereby we would pay everybody who would come to our church for 1 year. You could miss one service a month, but the rest of the time you had to be there for one solid year. And at the end of the year, we will pay you the $1 million. We took out an ad. Can I ask you a question? How many people you think we'd have here next Sunday? We'd have a lot of people, wouldn't we? And we'd probably have some that go on the contract. Now, you can only miss once. And they probably, some of them couldn't wait till they could miss that once. How many people do you think we'd have? I dare say we would have a crowd. We would probably have to hire the police to get all the parking in once people figured out it was genuine. You know why? Because people consider money that valuable. But they don't consider the kingdom that valuable. The privilege of knowing the Lord, being saved, and being his child is priceless. And if you ever lose that joy, and if you ever lose the honor and the privilege of being saved, then you've lost sight of what it means. Jesus said this kingdom is so valuable. I want to mention two other things. The kingdom is the true source of joy. Did you notice what it said? Each one of them with joy went and sold everything they had so they could have this one treasure, this one pearl. I maintain, as I said this morning, I will make no apologies for being a Christian, and I will make no apologies for serving the Lord, because that is the best life there is. Even if I knew when I came into this life, that was it, and there was no more, it wouldn't make any difference. It's still the best life there is. And these folks realized that this was something so wonderful and so precious that with joy they sold everything they have so they could have the kingdom, or they could have the great treasure. It's the same with us. And I'll give you one other thing. The kingdom is entered in through different circumstances. It's not always the same. Did you notice the first fella is not even hunting for anything? He's not even hunting for a treasure. He's just out there and go, whoa. Let's just assume for a moment he was plowing up the ground and he finds this treasure. Oh, did everybody see what? My goodness, look at what I found. Let's bury that back up. What are you doing? Goes home to tell the wife. What are you doing? We're selling everything we got. What? Yes. Shh, don't tell anybody. We're selling everything we got. And we're going to go buy this field. Why are you buying that field? I found a treasure there. It's one of them. He wasn't planning on finding it. He just stumbled across it. The other fella was a merchant. He looked for precious things. He looked for precious treasure. He was looking for precious jewels. And then he stumbled and found one. I think that illustrates the fact that many people come to the kingdom in different ways. Some folks are not really looking for the Lord, and suddenly they find the Lord. Some folks might be looking a little bit, trying to find something, and then they find the true relationship with God. People come to the kingdom differently, but they all come because of the preciousness of it. I will tell you this. If you ever get more preoccupied with your problems, I'm not saying don't think about them some, pray about them, or you get more preoccupied with this earth and you are not grateful, because you and I have the most valuable, the most priceless. Who can put a price on your soul that will spend eternity with God forever and ever and ever? You can't put a price on that. So if you ever get gloomy, and sometimes I do, if you ever get down of the mouth, just remember, are you saved? Then you have a treasure that was hidden in a field, and a man went and sold everything he had so he could have it. Or one found a pearl. But you know what it also says? Sometimes we can get so caught up in the here and now, the finances, the things of life, and we can get so caught up in it that we lose the joy of what it means to be saved. You know what, folks? It is a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. We've got a small number here tonight, but you're part of something much more valuable than just this small number. You're part of the everlasting, eternal kingdom of God. It's like when Paul went to college and we sat down for lunch and I said, Paul, I really don't have any money to give you. I'm going to help you out a little bit, but I don't really have enough money to pay for your college. But I said, I do have something much more valuable. I raised you in the Lord and I have a spiritual heritage to give you. And he knew what I was talking about. There's nothing much more valuable if you know Christ. You just remember this. When you go home tonight, if you know Christ, if someone told you you won the lottery of $300 million, you can say, well, okay, that's fine. But the truth is, you've got something more valuable than that. Your eternal soul is set. You've got a treasure, and you ought to appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we ask you to help us to be encouraged. As Jesus says, these folks found a tremendous treasure, one hidden in a field and one a pearl of great price. And they went and sold every single thing they had, one to buy the field and one to buy that great pearl of great price. And Jesus was telling us that story from a human perspective to let us know that the kingdom is the most valuable thing a person can be a part of. To be saved is the most precious thing. We may take it for granted sometime, but Lord, help us not to. Because when this life is over with, we're going to heaven, and we're going to live there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and we will never know sin, and we will never know suffering, and it will never end. It will be forever and ever. We are very privileged people. Lord, try to take some of the world out of our hearts and put a little bit of heaven in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.